My name is Loretta McDonough, and this is Sweepie Podcast, The Early Years. So today I drove over to the north side and I came in through gates for DCU, St. Patrick's College, and I've never been here before, even though I'm a Northsider. I've passed it many times and I actually think it's a beautiful campus, and it's very relaxed. And with the old buildings and the new buildings, it actually lends itself really nice. It's a nice environment. And I've seen loads of students with their trolleys and their suitcases on a Friday afternoon going home and things like that. So why am I here today? So today I am here to talk to Marlene McCormick. She is a lecturer and placement coordinator on the Bachelor of Early Childhood Education in the DCU. Institute of Education. Over her time, she has had many hats on that head of hers, and she has run her own preschool, been her centre manager and a department head in Early Childhood Ireland, and has always been an advocate for those working directly with children and family. And it's my great pleasure, because she's a very busy lady and she's taken time. I said to her in a joke, it'll be an hour, it won't be longer. And she goes, an hour? I have phone calls to be making. I haven't got an hour. So I'm really, really delighted. And to come on board, which is great, because we are a new initiative, and to back us in this, I thank you for that, Marlene.
Not at all, Loretta. I think actually it's a great initiative. I think I do really believe that anything that helps us at this particular point in time to get messages out and key messages out for people and talking points out for people, I think it's really, really important. So, I mean, I think the work that yourself and indeed others, but particularly in this initiative, are doing, it's really good.
And it's needed. It's needed. Yeah. We need to talk. We need to have that choice out there. So the big question is, how did Marlene McCormick from Knocklinan over the south side get all the way here, north side, to DCU? Like, that's a big jump from
preschool. It's a long journey. Yeah, well, you see, I started off probably like loads of people who'll hear this. Opening a preschool, and I had very little qualifications to do so. I was before the regs.
Yeah, like myself.
And, you know, in a way, there were wonderful things I could do with the children that I couldn't do now. But of course, the regs have helped tidy up everything for us all. But I went from there to really being involved in the TALA partnership, as it was. And, you know, I have a real heart for the community sector as well. I think a lot of good work happens there. And so through the involvement in TALA, I got involved in their new daycare centre that they were building
there. Yeah.
So at that time, and I suppose this will be relevant maybe to some people, I started off with no qualifications.
Yeah, me too.
I did then a 10-week IPPA course, introductory course. That's where I started. And that's where I fell in love, I think, with the whole idea of play and of children learning. And so through the changes from my own home-based play group to my involvement in TALA, I started to study. And so I actually only started my degree through Queen's when my youngest went to school. Okay. So all of my study has been done as an adult. And, you know, you can do it. Lots of people are doing
it. Oh, yeah. You know,
But at that stage, there was very little opportunity. The only place I could get a part-time degree was up in Stranmillis in Queen's.
So it's in Belfast.
It's in Belfast. Yeah. So I travelled up and down to Belfast for 4 years. Organised my own mum and my mother-in-law, those invaluable people and friends. You know, you farm out your children. You think, you know, childcare be easy if it wasn't for my own, you know?
I know.
So, so I suppose, that's how I... And then I got involved in tutoring. As I got to do my own degree, I really committed to women having opportunities. And so once I started my own degree, I started tutoring for IPPA as it was then. They kind of morphed into Early Childhood Ireland. And I ended up actually heading up the training department and really getting involved in the development of the part-time degree in Maynooth.
Okay, yes.
Irene Gunning would have been involved in that as well. And I think really I felt so strongly for that part-time degree because I felt, you know, we were seeing lots of young students coming out of school and into degrees. And yet there were loads of mature women out there working, well able, but maybe never had the chance and opportunity to take time out for college. And I really felt a part-time degree was necessary. So, I mean, and I loved my time in Early Childhood Ireland. I thought, you know, there's huge good work been done and had been done previously. But when the opportunity came up here for a brand new degree being started in DCU, a new degree in early childhood, I really thought, do you know, early childhood is coming on the agenda, where you have an institute like DCU or St. Pat's recognising the importance of early education.
And that's really important, because even though, as you said, over the years, it was like I started in, 87, 88.
Same as myself, yeah.
And there was very little. Like you were scraping around looking for, you wanted to do extra courses and you were finding it really hard to keep it down. Where now you have a platter of courses coming along and you're never too sure what is the right one or which is the best for you. So, and I think the recognition of the sector, or even the recognition of being educated for early years children, is that DCU, St. Patrick's, oh my God, it's such an institute to take this on.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a recognition of sorts that we've all been waiting for, I think.
Yeah, and I think it came along, Loretta, really. So that was 2015 I moved here and it was just starting. And so Geraldine French and myself were here, they're just the two of us, and we got it up and going off the ground. And you were developing everything from scratch. I mean, you had a broad map, but you had to develop it.
Did you have students in 2015?
We did. We took them in. I started here in July. Geraldine started in April, and we took our first intake in 2015. Now they're going to graduate this year.
That's a big. That's going to be a big day for you.
So it's going to be a big step for us. Oh yeah.
Oh, that'll be a great day. Yeah.
So it is. Yeah. Well, it is actually because you realise, you know, the challenges in getting a programme up and running. Our team has expanded. We've a great team, a good mix. Everybody on the team comes from that background. I think one of the strengths of the current programme here, and I know we'll talk about programmes, is that actually we've all either worked in the sector, run our own businesses. And so for me as a tutor, as a lecturer, that's really important.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to students, I'm not just talking from a book perspective, but I'm talking from a reality check as well, albeit a while ago.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you're in touch with the sector. So you have to always have your reality. You have to marry the theory and the practice, not just the students, but actually us as lecturers.
Absolutely. And I think there has to be, and I think students, because I'm like a late student, a mature student. I've only finished my degree since last year.
Well done.
So for as a student, and especially a student that works in the field and you're doing a part time and you're working full time, you don't take fools lightly.
No. No.
So I think if I'm giving up my time and I'm sitting in a classroom, please give me somebody that has the knowledge. And it's, I always found it interesting when my lecturer had a story, and you knew the story was coming out from something she, it didn't matter if it was 20 or 30 years ago, because it's a story about a child and a child learning.
That's right.
And I think I learned, I know personally, I learned more from that, because you were saying theory and practice, and they go hand in hand.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say, when I worked in Maynooth, where I was with Early Childhood Ireland, I lectured in Maynooth. I often went home in the evenings, and I probably knew that I nearly learned more for the women in the group than they would have learned for me, because the knowledge and the experience is just amazing. And when people then get a chance to put time aside to do some reading or to do good talk in the classroom, the theory, they pick up all that theory so quickly because they know it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
And they want to be there. Because you're part-time, you're not going to waste your time. You want to be there and you're hungry to learn, because, and I think, say adults like myself and other practitioners, or, you know, people working in the sector, we're all there because we love it and we have a passion. And I know that sounds cliche, but it is, because we're a sector that's not recognised. We're a sector that's underpaid. So please don't tell me that you're there because it's for the money or anything else. It's there because you actually enjoy what you're doing. You're passionate. Mm. You're learning, and you're kind of what's that word? Like you've got a part of it. You know, you're invested in it.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from the very first day when you were saying for 10 weeks IPPA course, you were invested from the time you signed up to that course. Yeah. So that brings us to new students. The new generation that are coming on board. And I have to say, Marlene, it scares me, because I started off with no education, bar my leaving cert. I'm the oldest daughter of eight children. So it was all just practical for me. So I started practice and practical and jumping in with my 2 feet and my friend next door, and girls that worked with me all had their own children or working in the area. And we learned as we were going along. And some may say it's the wrong way or the right way, or, you know, if I had been able to have education along the way, I did my best. Mm. But I think new students now that are 18 and are choosing to do childcare.
Yeah.
So how do we nourish and nurture them? Because this is where you come in now with DCU. It
is. And I have to say, Loretta, like, as much as I say the mature women had brought a lot, the younger school leavers coming in mm-hmm. bring an awful lot. Now, what they don't necessarily bring the same thing. They don't have the life experience or the experience in the setting, but they do bring an enthusiasm. Now, I would say, in fairness, a lot of the students coming into us, they're keen on primary teaching as well.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is amazing. It warms my heart because some of them will say, well, yeah, I'm coming in, Marlene, and I'll do early ed, but I think I'll go for the PME. That's the Postgraduate Masters for Education for Teaching in Primary. 2 years into it. And they're saying to me, do you know, I'm not so sure about that now, Marlene. They get the bug. And I think they get the enthusiasm for it and they're getting knowledge. And then it's transformed because they go out on placement. And then their world changes. And for the vast majority, for like 98% of the students, they come back in from their first lot of placement and they're in love with the children. Mm-hmm. They're in love with the whole idea of it. Of course, not everything is always perfect, but they can see the theory in practice and they can see the difference that it's making. And they can actually see, I mean, I was with some of them this morning, they can see the huge value of the experience that's in the sector as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is pretty amazing when you think about these young students going out. How do you prepare them for going out? How do you help them think about young children? I mean, that's a real challenge, but I think it's partly address that in here, in that the team all, we have kind of core beliefs and values. We all teach in different ways, mm-hmm. but we all have strong beliefs. So, I mean, we all believe that children are competent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have a strong belief in that. That influences how we teach.
Yeah.
We all believe that, I suppose we believe that educators, practitioners, whatever you like to say, are always trying to do their best. We believe that parents always try to do their best. So when you have a kind of a key set of principles that are important, that does actually come across in the teaching. So the students are getting consistent messages, do you know, mm-hmm. consistent messages, even though they might be doing different topics with all of us, you know.
Yeah, and different teaching methods.
And different teaching methods, yeah.
You have all same background, but different ways of teaching and practice and come from different.
Absolutely.
And when students go to work placements, they benefit because they're actually seeing theory in practice. And we all know that. Absolutely. So we know that. Yeah. But how important is the quality of the experience they're getting? Like for service providers, you know, as somebody listening in who's a manager or owner or a service provider or a room leader, how important is their input into it?
I cannot stress enough, firstly, how we couldn't run our course without the sector. We need people to work with us in terms of the settings. And we're really lucky that we have, at the moment, I think we're working probably with about 220 services.
That's great, isn't it?
And we're always looking to expand the panel, if you will. But it's hugely important. And there's things that are really important. It's funny, from a student's point of view, the first thing they notice is not what qualifications the people have, but how kind they are. Now, I know that sounds so silly and basic, but for students who've never been out before, going into somewhere new, into a workplace, a centre from in terms of learning and education, and the most important thing is that they feel welcome.
Yeah.
But we need to have that relationship with the setting in order for the students to go out and do well.
Yeah.
I suppose our basic philosophy, or my personal philosophy, is that any setting that agrees or is interested in working with us, I take that as a really positive sign that service opens the door to us. Because when you open the door, it's like opening your home door and inviting people in. You know, when you invite people in and you say, oh God, I never noticed that picture wasn't hung straight, in a way, when no service is ever operating at 100%. None of us operate at 100% all of the time.
No.
So when you open the door and you let somebody from DCU, a student, come in, they know that somebody like me is coming in as well. And in a way, opening your door to that kind of through traffic, I think it's pretty amazing. Yeah. Because I know how busy it is out there. I know all you need is somebody ringing in 6 some morning and yeah. everything goes yeah. out of kilter.
And all I need is a student asking me questions or somebody follow me around exactly. and how am I going to...
Exactly.
And,
like
you said, it's the opening of the door is... And I think more doors should be opened because here I am and the more... You know, I didn't know that this service was around before I started it yeah. in my own service. And then once Esther actually told me that, you know, get your students in, you know, and I went, I don't know how to do that. So I think it's like, you know what? It's a breath of fresh air. I think that's what students bring to you because you remember, you know, you can take it for granted that we do this every day. We know what we're doing. You know, take the children and bring them outside. You know, you take it for granted, you know it. And then when a student makes you stop. And I think I have learned through students' eyes, hold on now. Oh, that's why we started that in the first place. And I don't know what happened to you the day. And a student was very enthusiastic doing something. And I seen a play that had taken part in every day. You know, it was healthy eating.
Yes. Yeah.
And through the new students' eyes, the different experience the children got because of the different experience the student was giving them and given me
that's
in
right,
our classroom.
Yeah.
So it was it's a breath of fresh air.
You see,
I
agree with you. And I think it's a reciprocal relationship when the student goes into the setting because the student gets loads. The student learns loads. Remember, they're learning everything from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, and they
go
in.
It's quite daunting, you know, going into an establishment.
Daunting.
And we are establishments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And don't forget, the student is going into groups who maybe have been working together for a long while. And they know the ropes. Mm-hmm. They know when people go on breaks. They know how rotas work. They know about the children. They know this little guy won't eat that. They know that that little one has an allergy.
Yeah.
They know that if you're letting him go out, make sure he's his coat on or whatever. There is so much organisational knowledge and human knowledge within the existing team that sometimes, and I remember it myself, half the time you don't even need to talk to the person in the room with you. You kind of would look your eye and say, did you notice that?
Yeah.
So the student comes in and the student has to kind of tune into that. Now, for some students, that's real easy. For others, particularly where they're shy, it takes a little bit of time to step into that space. Mm. And I'm thinking first years, just out on their first placement and trying to find their voice. And they need to feel, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
You need to feel secure before you can find a voice.
Yeah,
so that's where I think people have been open and basically welcoming. I'm saying kind, but welcoming to the students are hugely important. So the student is learning. It's a bit like the baby. The student is learning at every level.
Mm.
But the settings also, I think, learn. Now, this morning I had a group of first years. And with us, what we do, Loretto, is they're out on placement and they're back in and we have an hour long session with small groups every week where students kind of have an opportunity to talk about not the setting, but how they're feeling and how things are going for them. So we're very tight about how we speak about where the students are. So the student will never say I'm studying in
whatever. Yeah.
They'll say, look, I had a really good experience with this, or I'm really wondering about that. So the students have an opportunity to come in and debrief. So this morning I had a group of first years and one of them was doing a play module, and I do the play modules here. And part of their play module is this year they've to get a book and review it on play. Because I think in first year, get them reading books.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them all picking a book in the library and reading it, and they're going to do an essay on it, a review on it. And one of them said to me this morning, Marlene, I brought my playbook into the setting. And she said, they loved it. And I said, what do they love about it? And she said, they were saying, oh, yeah, we remember that book by Tina Bruce. We used to look at that book when we were studying. And she said, she went through the book and she was talking to the educators, practitioners, telling them how she was finding the book. And she said to me, Marlene, before you knew it, we were chatting away about play and how children play. And she said that the practitioners were saying to her, gosh, yeah, we have a parachute. We never took that. We haven't taken that out for ages.
But see, that's what I mean about the breath of fresh air, because you can't, not that you're stagnant or you're not improving all the time, but there's little things that bring plenty of joy, but there's loads of things that bring plenty of joy. And that other one thing that you used to use is just at the back of the cupboard for a little while.
Yeah.
And then when new students come in, they open your eyes to, we'll do that again.
That's right. Yeah. And you said it so clearly, Loretta. You know, you're seeing maybe your service or your practice through somebody else's eyes because you're forced to slow down.
Yeah.
Now, we know how busy it is in an early childhood centre, how busy it is. And when you stop to take a breath, because maybe the student has asked a question or you're making a suggestion, you kind of have to stop in the moment and look around and you see things maybe with fresh eyes, as I say, or you get new ideas. So I think it's amazing when students are out there, because I do think when it works really well, and it's a two-way street.
Yeah, it is a two-way street. Yeah. And I think if service providers are listening, or owners or managers or room leaders, not to be afraid of it and to welcome it, because I think it doesn't bring on extra work. It actually can lighten your load, because you're sharing your ideas with somebody else, and through those ideas and their ideas, it's like a little self-education thing inside your own room. You know, it's like a self-education workshop.
Right. Yeah.
And I think I think it's a really good thing, and service providers really should get on board with it, because it is a great initiative, and I think students are our future. They really are our future, and we're managers and service providers, and we need to retain staff. And the better experience that students have,
absolutely, the greater the chance. And I do think, Loretta, the thing I do really think about is, and it's the bit that worries me, I really want to see conditions and terms in the sector. I mean, you'll see over there, there's a bag of armbands from the Big Start. The Big Start people in talking to the students really recently as part of another module I was doing with them, to ensure the students are activated, and not only are they engaged and doing placement, but that they're really aware of the sector, how hard the sector work, what it's doing, and that they should be advocates as well for the sector whenever the opportunity arises. Because we do need to look and ensure that the terms and conditions and so on are lifting. And that's, in my mind, we've made great strides forward.
Yeah.
I know it's not easy in the sector, but we've made great strides. The next big, big thing that we have to kind of crack into, I think, is to ensure that it's a place where people can earn a living, that they can work hard and earn a reasonable living.
Yeah.
And that's not always possible nowadays. In some places it is, but not always.
And the new generation also, they're very aware of that. Mm. You know, young girls, 18, 19, 20 years of age, they were 10 when the recession hit. So they would remember that, and it would have hit their families fairly hard. Mm. So they're coming up now, and they realise the importance of having a good job and the importance of having an education, because they wouldn't be choosing early childhood education if it wasn't for to be able to come to a college like this. The importance of it being in an institute and in a college, DCU, to recognise that worth. So we're telling students, we're telling the new sector, come on, we're recognising early years education.
Yeah.
But after your 4 years.
And that's the problem. Now, I think we certainly in here really want the students to be retained in the sector, but I do know a lot of them won't be retained in the sector. However, I think already upping your own education, having a level 8 degree, we mentioned this coming in, can bring you in many directions.
Oh, yeah.
And what I'm amazed in the last 5-8 years, with the advent of Better Start and the DES Inspectorate, and indeed TUSLA opening up the doors to early childhood, the abundance now of parent and family type centres and locations. Like, an early childhood degree doesn't necessarily mean you will be working directly with young children all of the time in the way that I might have or you do.
Absolutely, yeah.
And in a way, yeah, it offers students loads of options. However, I mean, primarily you want to see them retained in the sector. I mean, that's why you're doing it. You want that good knowledge, all that experience to grow in that sector,
And for them. But I do think it's, if any students are listening, that it's not just about working in a service providers, that there's more outside it. And the more students we get to stay in the sector, and the more that they invest with us, and the more they advocate for themselves and for what they believe in, I think, I see great changes, and I've seen them more so in the last 10 years than the last 27. And I think we had many strategies and the new first 5 strategies coming on board, but we have seen it they've taken 10 and 20 years. And so we're very optimistic, and we're we're coming into a new era, I think, with early years. And I think we need our new students.
Absolutely. Really, because in a way, all, as you quite rightly say, all of the policies that have been developed way back, like from the mid 2000s, you know, when you think about even ASHTA and SHIELTA as initiatives coming on board, great with policies, bad on resourcing and follow through. And even First Five, and whether it's Bob Off Better Outcomes, Brighter Futures, the other document.
Yes.
I mean, all of that's all very positive. It reads really well, like the First Five, really well. And now we need to see that government is going to stand up to the plate and put money where their mouth is, really.
Absolutely.
So that the policies don't become dormant. Now, I do actually have great hope, because I think I'm around, no more, you say it as well, though I'm a bit older than you. I think, I've seen so much good happening. I think in another few years, I mean, let's get all the administration burden sorted. Let's get the PIP and the parents portal and all of that sorted. Let's get the funding stream sorted. Let's get, you know, I suppose the funding correct in early childhood as well. And in parallel, then you're saying, if you're investing in this, then of course you need a workforce.
Yeah.
A workforce that's going to live up to all of that. And that's really going to be good for the young children, all children.
Yeah. Irrespective. It's fundamental. I think it's fundamental to quality. Mm. And it's fundamental to what we can provide families and children. And I think everybody's in agreement with that. And I think we just need the government to be on board and to hear what we're saying.
Yeah.
And I think young students have the power, because if they all just advocate amongst themselves, especially nowadays with online and the power social of media and social media, there is a power there. And I think, you know, when they can, for I remember when we were all voting for yes or no, you know, and for equal sex marriage and things like that, young people had that online and they drove that.
They did. They galvanised all of those arguments. And in recent referenda where there's social issues, regardless of where you stand on them, but where young people felt passionately about things, they certainly made a difference, I think, or they were part of that difference. So you're right. I mean, we need to have young, educated, passionate people coming into the sector, but you want them to stay in the sector. I mean, I've no doubt that lots of graduates go into the sector, but the question is, how long do they stay? How long do they stay? And
Marlene, I honestly don't think it's the job, and I don't think it's the conditions, not anymore, because we're all pretty up on standard. And I think, you know, the minimum level that everybody's qualified is level 5 now.
Yeah.
So we're all educated now. Mm. We, you know, we're all have child centred. We all have quality service provision is all up now. So I think, you know, and with the regulations and the inspections, we're all getting there. You know, we're all on board.
Yeah.
But I think it's the money. I think it's just you're a young girl, you know, a young man, whoever, you know, please, you know, come on, men, get involved in it. We need them. And but they need to be able to, like you just said, they need to be able to live.
Well, you know what, Loretta, you know? I remember a number of years ago, and this might be about 10 years ago, and I was down in Cork at I was facilitating some workshops. And this young woman had been great during the workshop and she was contributing greatly. And at the end, she hung back and she was chatting to me and she said, Marlene, I have a first class honours degree from UCC. I work in a community setting. I live at home with my mum and dad. And she said, I can barely afford a small car. And she said, that's it. I can never hope to move out and live independently. I can never hope to look for a mortgage. She said, in fact, I can't even get a loan because I'm on a 38-week contract. Now, this is a while ago. I know that changes a little now. But she said, I just can't afford to stay in early ed anymore. And I thought, and she was the kind of person you just knew instinctively that would be, that it was brilliant with children and really good.
The sort of person you want.
And so I thought, you know, that is such a shame. And just going back to your point, I mean, most settings have come on board really well. I think some are still struggling a lot. I think it's not an easy task. And that's always the challenge when students go out on placement, where they go.
Yeah.
And whether the settings always have the capacity. And by that, I don't mean intellectual capacity, but the time or the context. So I would have always appreciated it in the past where settings might say to me, you know what, Marlene, we had a student last year, went really well. This year, things are not great. We have a little staffing stuff that we have to get sorted. Next year would be better for a student.
Yeah.
And then I think, isn't that amazing? You know, that's really good. That shows how much settings are aware of what students need.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean everywhere is perfect all the time. But I think the vast majority of settings are absolutely moving along that path.
And we're still a very new and young sector. I'm calling it sector, Marlene, because it's just that even though we're not professionalised yet, we are a sector because we have over 20,000 workers working in it, and they're just hands like on the ground. We're not talking about chefs. We're not talking about administrators. We're not talking about office people. You know, there's so many people beyond people that are working on the floor with children.
I would say sector as well. The term I don't like is industry. And I know a lot of people use that. They'd say the child care industry. Now, that kind of jars with me because I don't think we're an industry. We're not producing things. We're not involved. We are involved in a service, but it's not a transactional service. In a way, what we're always involved in is that relationship between the parents and the staff, between the parents and the child and the staff. I think industry is a very hard term.
I
think we shouldn't borrow language from other parts of the world. And I don't mean parts as in geographic, but from other areas of the world, of the disciplines that don't suit us.
No.
So I think I like sector. I like actually setting.
Setting is nice. Yeah.
I like setting. I suppose we're a bit fussy in here about our language. So we tend to say early childhood care and education, or early childhood education and care. So the notion of care and education, as far as I'm concerned, is kind of intertwined.
Yeah.
And therefore, going back to your point about the sector, I too would say sector, and I like that term, you know.
Yeah, because we're not an industry. I would like to say we're on par with nurses, nurses, teachers, people that are providing a service, you know, HSC, social welfare nurses, social welfare officers, because we're providing a service as support to children and their families. So industry, you're right, it's too sharp. I think the education and care part of it, we're providing an education for all the young children and from zero.
Absolutely.
You know, education is learning about yourself and learning about your environment, but it's an education because you're being taught it.
Absolutely. And if the student, say in our case, begins to know that education, learning, education is part of what's happening to that baby, whether we intend it or not, or that toddler, they are learning, they are being educated. And education in the true sense of that educare, drawing from, I mean, it is so, so true. So the language is important. And I think the language is important in terms of status of the sector as well.
I think so too.
You know, I think you're here on the St. Pat's campus today, where really we have almost 4,000 students that are probably predominantly primary focused. Okay. So, and that's status. There's a status to being the primary teacher. Mm. And yet I know, because I would interface with those students as I would with our own. And I know our students are learning every bit as much material, theory,
development,
knowledge. That's as important as the BEd, the Bachelor of Education, primary teacher students are. So I think, we are all the time in here, and we do a little bit of cross teaching here. So we might have somebody who is teaching on the primary curriculum, and they might work with our students, say, for instance, on outdoor play. I would link in with the primary school teachers for some of their early ed material. So you're trying to say early ed is so important. And remember, those children at 5 and 6, well, 4 and 5 more so, they could be in a primary setting.
Oh, yeah. And they could be often not.
And they could be with ourselves in the early years.
Yeah.
So, you know, the language matters from the status of the sector. And I think it's important.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's our identity.
Yeah.
I think I'm lost sometimes with practitioner, educator, childcare. I don't know what to be calling myself sometimes. And I know the girls that work with me are the same. And the practitioner doesn't rest with them because we were all child carers and we came from daycare to work in preschool because we're just predominantly preschool now. So, but preschool comes with teaching. So the children call us teachers, the parents call us teachers. And I think the teacher comes with education. And I think the care comes with nurturing. So the education and care are entwined, but the learning comes because of care and education. Do you know what I mean? So the education part is really important because I think it gives us status amongst other pupils that are maybe doing the educare and status amongst other professionals because education, the word itself, is recognised and has a status itself. And I think in our own sector, we need to find something that we, the sector, not anybody else, are labelling us.
I know.
And whether it's going to be you're a practitioner or whether you're, you know, and I don't know who decides that.
I know. Well, you see, I think that's really hard because I can remember way, way back in the 90s, maybe the late 90s, there was a project through DIT and it was called the Omna Project. And part of that project was the naming of the sector.
Right.
Mid-90s. I mean, we still haven't decided. Yeah. And I think we've been afraid of certain words along the way. You know, so teacher is a word that a lot of people have shied away from. Not because the word teacher carries weight and value and an idea, you know, a teacher. So I think a lot of this early years sector, the early childhood sector, have kind of shied away from that. Now, a recent poll, I think, I'm not sure who undertook the poll, but I think educator and teacher were the two preferred terms that seemed to emerge from this poll.
Okay.
And it's funny, I heard a number of years ago a woman from New Zealand. So in New Zealand, they're called teachers in the kindergartens, right? And the woman's name was Helen May. So anybody who's been studying, particularly on the sociology end, would know Helen May. And I heard Helen May speaking and she said, you know, maybe we need to think about reclaiming the word teacher. You know, maybe we need to think about that. So most years I would say to our students, you know, so what would you think you should be called? And actually a lot of them would say teacher.
Teacher, yeah.
Now, I'm betwixt in between myself, Loretta, but I certainly like educator and I certainly like teacher. I think I've moved practitioner roles easily and it's what I would have always said. But I think, I don't know, I'm moving a little away from that. And as for childcare worker, that drives me mad.
Yeah.
It drives me mad. I think it just doesn't say what it does. You know, I mean, it just is so, to say childcare worker doesn't give the respect to the depth and the complexity of the work that people do. I mean, when you think about it, not only is this educator dealing with children and curriculum and supporting all of that, they're dealing with the parents. They're supporting parents in lots of cases. They're working with outside professionals, whether it's AIM people or speech and language therapists coming in. Now, you think about all of that. They're documenting children's learning. I mean, there's so much going on at such a depth that to say childcare worker is unfair because it diminishes what's been done.
And I think also childcare worker, it just, like you said, it doesn't ring into everything, and I think everything else they do for children, I think if you could close your eyes and think that there was no community centres and there was no preschools down the road and there was no preschool in Knockline in the corner, so everybody just walked over to it and you didn't have a work, because we're very unique in Ireland that we all started in our own homes and then community colleges and then school halls, we were allowed to use them and, you know, move them back into the PE hall in the morning, and then you know all those halls, working in halls like that, and the chairs and all the equipment had to go back into presses because the scouts were coming in, and
a few still do.
So there's a lot, you know, so we're very unique for ourselves in Ireland for that. And I think not only support for the children growing up and learning, it's the community. We are a huge part of the community. And I think for allowing, and let's just face it, allowing young women to go out to work and for women to go back to work, for women who have taken time out to rear their children or maternity leave and they're going back. And I think the provision we provide, and majority private,
yes, of course,
is second to none. And I think it's without support and it's without funding, you know, and recognition. And I think I know there's a lot to be still changed and there's, you know, a lot of work still to be done. But I think out of the whole scheme of it, what we provide for the community, you know, you give advice to parents, the local schools, you know, there's loads of things. You're an advisor most days, you know, to parents.
Well, I mean, if you stopped and thought how many hats you wore on any given day, I mean, you know, from bringing in the bins or out the bins to dealing with those complex issues with parents. Yeah.
And
I mean,
students and educator, students, like, you know, room leaders, you're an educator to a student. You know, like you said, and the place of work where I work, my environment now is a teaching environment because I'm teaching students now as well. So it's a full circle thing, isn't it, Marlene?
It is. It really is, Loretta. Yeah, that is very true, actually. It is a full circle. And I mean, I think you'd never underestimate the power and the value of local settings. Really, it is huge. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and a lot of the time, you know, they become almost hubs, because I'm sure a lot of places will experience childminders coming and dropping off children, grannies and granddads dropping off children, you know, particularly for sessional settings. That, I mean, it becomes, you know, we talk about the post office being the centre of community in a way, but actually early childhood settings, because, and don't forget, it's outside early childhood setting doors that people chat, get to know one another, new people to the community. I mean, I think all of that is huge. And because it's not formal, as in the same way primary is, it allows that relationship between the staff or the manager or the owner and the parents coming in. And parents trust, because their children are so small, they're trusting you with their children. And therefore, that relationship, that door is open for that relationship. And once you open that relationship with the parents, then you're privy maybe to more than any other person has in terms of, you know, connection with the education. So I think we're in powerful, powerful positions.
Yeah, we are. And I think we have to nurture that pair, that pair or that position we're in, you know. And I think we need to be respected for it, because I think we have a great sector, because we have the foundation of people that are in it for the love and the passion of it, and because they care about how it works. So, and I think that passion and that care is a good foundation for our new students.
Oh, I coming on board. I think you're right. I think without that kind of, the foundations, those strong foundations, and that those relational foundations, you know, relationships, that kind of, as you say, I'm thinking emotion, but that's too fluffy a word. But unless that foundation of caring and commitment is there, well, firstly, people don't stay in the sector if they don't have some of that.
Absolutely.
You know, that alone now is not enough. As we said, the pay and so on has to commensurate. But for students going out, it absolutely is a brilliant start, an absolute fantastic start. And it is placement that lights up the students' eyes. I have to tell you, it's not sitting in a lecture with any of us. It is going out and seeing it lived.
It is, yeah.
It comes, everything comes together for them. And where they are somewhere that is supportive, and where the staff, the person in the room who's supervising them, where they sort of support the student to have a go with all of the provisos, but to have a go, you know, you see students flourish.
You
see them flourish and thrive, just in the same way the smaller children do. But it is giving them permission to have a go. And I think I'm always amazed at how generous so many settings are with students. They will let them have a go. They will guide them, you know, give them the time.
So I think that's our message today, Marlene, that we have got a good sector and it's growing we're going in the right direction. I think we're all agreed. And I think anybody listening today, if you're a student or a service provider or a room leader, to give time to each other, and students to ask the questions. Don't be afraid. Get into there and get hands on and ask the questions and learn as much as you can from these knowledgeable people. And I would say to people working with the students is to give them your knowledge and give them your time and that kindness. It is lovely.
And yeah. And also, Loretta, on the last word, really, I suppose to give them your experience. Students can start to build their knowledge base in college, but the experience that people in the sector have is just so valuable. And it's that feeding into the student is often the most important thing.
And what they remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marilyn, yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure. Oh, and thanks. I don't think this is going to be the end of me and Marilyn. I think we're going to be chatting and I think we're going to be going for a cup of coffee because this lady is worse than myself. We could talk for Ireland. But it's been a pleasure. Thanks. And I'd like to thank you again, Marilyn McCormick from DCU St. Pat's.
Thank you very much, Loretta. You're thanks a million. Well. Okay, bye.
You have been listening to Sweet Pea Podcast, The Early Years with Loretta McDonough. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And do share the podcast with friends, colleagues or students who may be interested. And please rate and review us on iTunes. If you've got something you'd love us to cover, drop us an email at sppodcasttheearlyyears@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter or check our webpage at sweetpeapodcast.ie. Thank you for listening, and until the next time, be kind to yourself and take care.